Ben Bauman joins me on episode 81. Ben is a Dutch blues player who always strives for originality in his playing, partly inspired by his admiration for the playing of Paul Delay. Ben's current band is the Marble Tones, who took their name from the Amplifier Company, with Ben helping develop their range of harmonica amps. Ben also helped Seidel prototype their steel reeds before they released them some 15 years ago, and he tells us all about polishing and profiling steel reeds, his own business selling customized Seidel harmonicas, and how we help persuade Seidel in moving over to compromise just tuning. The Harp Game He's On is the name of Ben's self-produced album, and he regularly posts YouTube videos, including his recent tuition videos on different harmonica themes. This podcast is sponsored by Seidel Harmonicas. Visit the oldest harmonica factory in the world at www.seidel1847.com or on Facebook or Instagram at Seidel Harmonicas. Hello, Ben Bauman, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for inviting me.
So you're speaking to us from Eindhoven in the south of the Netherlands?
Yeah, mid-south of the Netherlands, close to Belgium.
What's the music like around there and the harmonica scene? What got you into the harmonica?
Well, the scene at the moment is like everywhere else, I think. It's blues is not the main interest for most people. But when I was younger, I listened to blues only, in fact. But how it started was when I picked up a chromatic harmonica that was lying at home for my father, who was supposed to be in a harmonica orchestra, but I've never seen or heard him do that. And he died when I was 14, so we didn't get time to play. But I played the chromatic a few years, and I lost a little interest because I didn't know how it worked, the chromatic harmonica. And then I went to a local shop, and I just, coincidence, I think, I saw this blues harp, and I just bought it because I wanted something more simple. It looked simple to me, so that's why I bought it. And from there, I just started buying records in the local record shop. Luckily, they had very good selection of blues records, and that got me really going.
Just picking up on what you're saying there about your father playing in a harmonica orchestra then. So was that something which was quite common in the Netherlands back then? Were there quite a lot of orchestras around?
Yeah, I was told that the main reason was that in a small village, the people didn't have the money to buy all the instruments that you need for a real orchestra, like saxophones and trumpets and all this stuff. So maybe it was like a poor man's orchestra, and they had bass harmonicas and chords and diatonics and chromatics as well. But the main reason, at least, that's really what I was told was money.
So what sort of influences did you have on the early blues records, the usual classic blues guys?
Well, all the guys from that time, whatever I could buy, I bought it because I didn't have a clue who was doing what on harmonica, and then it all sounded nice to me, so I just bought whatever was available in the shop. And I was stupid enough, 25 years ago, I sold all my blues records, and I had some rare ones, but I needed some money at the time, and a friend of mine wanted to buy everything I had. But if I look back now, I would love to have them now. But the big names, Little Walter, Walter Horton, Sonny Boy, and some more unknown place, but I really can't remember all the names from the time.
You can't find these albums on streaming anymore.
Could be, but I would love to have a record player now and the old records again, because it's maybe a hype, but everybody's now buying records. So
I know someone that you're a big fan of is Paul Delay. So when did you start getting into him?
The first time I heard from him was, I think, 20 years ago. I had a student coming from Italy 1 week to Holland to study with me because he liked my tone and my way of playing. And while he was there, he was talking about Paul Delay. And all of a sudden, when I started to listen to Paul Delay, I realized he was the one I was always looking for, because I loved all the old players, but it never felt good to me when I had to play songs that they play, because I never wanted to sound like someone else. I never wanted to copy songs. I listened to them, I analyzed what I heard, I tried it on the blues harp, and then I did my own thing again. And when I read about Paul Delay, I read his biography, and one of his things that he said was, I don't want to be and sound like anyone else. And that really got me thinking. And from there, start listening to Paul Delay more and more. And as a result, my playing, I won't say it changed, but it felt better to me, because I didn't think anymore about techniques that I heard from other players. I was just doing things that I liked most. That's maybe the biggest influence from Paul Delay.
So what age were you when you discovered Paul Delay, or how long ago was it?
20 years ago, I think.
Any particular of his songs that grabbed you initially, or an album?
Well, not at the time, but this guy from Italy who was my place sent me a few MP3s. I had two or three songs that I analyzed, and I listened a lot to. I won't say I forgot about it, but I was so focused by these songs and his way of playing, and then it triggered me to practice more and more the things that I wanted to play, that I still listened to the few songs, and because they were so complicated to my ears. And it took me quite some years to go back to his recordings and start listening again. Sometimes I listened a lot to Paul Delay, these few songs that I had. Sometimes I forgot about it, I did my own things, but slowly it progressed to 5-6 years ago when I started looking on YouTube what was available from Paul Delay, and I tried to find everything from him, and I'm still analyzing and listening, because I have like 10-15 favorite songs now, but I could name 60-70 songs that I really like from Paul Delay.
You have a batch of live recordings of his, yeah?
Yeah, on YouTube you can find so many live recordings from him. Some bootlegs as well, but the thing that triggered me most was there's a video on YouTube where he's on a harmonica party. And he's doing a show like 30 minutes with just guitar and bass. And he's just sitting there and just enjoying what he's doing. He's smiling and talking to the people and smiling in between. And it's just big fun and so complicated what he's doing. But you can really see on his face, he's loving every second when he's playing. I've seen this video maybe 10-15 times. I took the sound of it because it was mono, only on the left side. It was a very bad recording, so I remastered it, put it on stereo, and I'm still listening to these songs and not really practicing, but analyzing in my head when he's playing, what is he doing. Sometimes I slow down to have a better feel of what he's doing, but his timing and his groove and his tone are so different from what anyone else is doing. And
do you know where he got this from? You know, how did he develop his sound? Obviously, you've read his biography.
He doesn't talk about who or what influenced him, but I can hear when he's playing chromatic, he listened to jazz plays, he listened to saxophone plays, but he also sometimes plays things that fit more like a guitar play, like the way he's playing a fast lick. It's more like he's playing a jazz chord, very fast on the harmonica. I think he's influenced by jazz players. Must be.
Yeah, and obviously a lot of harmonica players, blues players, obviously influenced by the classic harmonica players, and that's great. We've all got to listen to them. But yeah, I think as we're getting more and more harmonica players now, more diverse, you know, there is that difference in approach, isn't there? So I guess that sounds like something you'd encourage.
Yeah. Yeah, but the one of the things that I, this is what I heard about when I played 20, 30 years in Holland in different blues bands, that some people told me that I didn't sound very traditional. I never knew what is traditional in their opinion and how I should play to sound traditional. I just kept on playing what I liked most, and I didn't really care if people said I wasn't playing traditional.
But did you sort of change your approach, after you started listening to Paul Delay, obviously only 20 years ago?
I always felt pretty comfortable But maybe 1% in my head was saying, why do not play traditional things like people maybe like better? But when I was thinking this, 10 seconds later, I just started playing my own things again. But there was always this little voice in my head that maybe bothered me a little. When I listened to Paul Delay and started analyzing and thinking about it, this voice disappeared for some reason. And I just kept on doing what I was doing and trying to be better in what I did.
Sure, yeah. And of course, Paul Delay sadly died in 2007 now.
He's not only a good harmonica player, he has a great voice. He's arranging songs, he's writing songs, lyrics, he's doing everything to keep a band going. And that's a unique combination that someone can do this all at the same time. To me, that's incredible. When I listen to him, I really hear he's guiding the whole band. There's quite some several live recordings from him. And when you listen to a live recording, you can almost see him like conducting the band when they're playing.
Yeah, so you obviously appreciate his live recordings. Most is it an album or, like you say, those YouTube videos of a harmonica party or anything else?
Yeah, the studio recordings are also nice arrangements, but it doesn't have this specific feel. But when he's playing live, he's just laughing and smiling and doing weird stuff and still enjoying it, and people respond to what he's doing. You can see he's really a crowd pleaser in a positive way.
Okay, so you're going back to your harmonica journey then. So what was the first harmonica that you purchased, the first diatonic?
I'm pretty sure it was the Honor Blues Harp. I think it's the only one that was available in the store, and there was a small booklet with it, like 5-6 pages. That's the only thing that I could find about harmonica playing. This was around 1966, 1967 or so. So no internet, no books, no videos, no CDs, nothing.
And so how did you go about learning then?
Yeah, just listening to records and even slowing down on records with my thumb to be able to hear what was going on. Maybe the biggest change in my playing came when I listened to Charlie Musselwhite. He had the recording, the harmonica according to Charlie Musselwhite, I think it's called. And there was one song, and it has a saxophone and harmonica solo on it. And I tried to play along with it, and it took me 2 days to find out it was not in what we now call second position cross harp. It was in a different key harmonica that he played. And later I found out it was in third position. This finding different harmonicas for certain songs kept me busy for a few years, because I still didn't know anything about first position, second, or the circle of fifth, or any theory. So I was still doing it by ear.
And did you learn any other instruments at this time, or you just harmonica?
No, only 10 or 11 years ago I started playing saxophone, which I liked a lot, but the neighbors didn't like it that much, so I had to stop after 2 years or so. But I'm still thinking about maybe trying it again, because it felt good to me. Maybe good to mention, I started playing clarinet when I was 8 years old, and I played it for 2 or 3 months or so, and I had a teacher. Because I felt really comfortable on the clarinet at the time. I started playing along with songs on the radio. And when I told him about it, he said, well, it's absolutely forbidden to play along with other songs. You have to study the songs from us. And I looked at him, I put down the clarinet and I left. And that's it.
So as you say, you're playing with blues bands in the Netherlands there. So, what was your sort of journey there? And
I started in my first blues band when I was 16 or 17, but it was more, we did played blues songs, but it was more rock. I did it for 2 or 3 years with these guys that I met. But then I went to the army. I had to go to the army for 18 months, and I didn't play much harmonica at the time. Then when I came out of the army, I was 21 years old. Then I picked up harmonica again, and then I went to a band. My brother is a bass player. and he was playing in a band, and he asked me for a few songs. From there, I started joining the band, played harmonica, started singing after a while, and I think I played with this band 6, 7, 8 years or so. Then the band stopped, and I went to another blues band 1 or 2 years later, played with them a few years, and it was a bit on and off at that time.
And recently you've been playing with a band called the Marble Tones. That's your current band, yeah?
Yeah, we started in 2001. I met a guy, the bass player and the singer from the band. I met him in a jam session in the local bar, and he was playing double bass. And within 2 seconds, I knew that's the guy I would love to have in the band. So right away, I went to him and said, "How do you feel? Do you want to join a band? Do you want to start a band?" And we started talking, and the rest is history. We still play together.
So the Marble Tones is the name of an amp. There's a Marble Tones amp. So is there a connection to the amplifiers? Yeah.
Yeah, because when I asked the bass player if he wanted to join a band, he said yes, but I had to find a guitar player and a drummer as well. And luckily, a woman in the fitness center where I worked, he was married to a man who was a drummer, a very good one. In that time, I was asked by someone else to go with him to a local shop who was building amps close to where I lived, and it turned out to be Marble. In that time, I was already struggling with good amps because I couldn't find good amps in that time. But he went there for a guitar amp, a tube amp, hand-built by Marble. And when I was there for the first time, I noticed he had a few guitars hanging around. I said, "Do you play guitar as well?" "Yes." "Okay." I asked him to be a guitar player. And the second question was, "Do you build harmonica amps?" And he said no, and that's how it started. When we started the band, to honor him, because he built my first harmonica amp, I said, should we name the band Marble Tones? And that's how it started.
Great. So did you have some involvement in the design of the harmonica amp that they make?
Yeah, because he made a prototype, and from there we started. He just based it on a Fender Bassman. That was his first amp, because he was doing this for guitar as well. But he modified it, and from there he started building specific harmonica amps. In the time, I already had bought a Sonny Junior amp. I allowed him to have a look at my Sonny Junior, and he started like building 2 or 3 prototypes. And that's how the journey went for us. And I still test amps, and we still try crazy things with resistors and capacitors and everything to get the amps better.
Right, great. So these are custom harmonica amps, designed for harmonica, obviously. So they do, I think, 4 yeah. types, don't they? They've got the Max, the Blue Sonic, the Harp Wood, and the Harp Master. So they're basically increasing in size from, 1 8-inch speaker up to sort of 6 8-inch speakers. So what about them? I mean, I've heard good things about these amps. I've never actually tried one, so clearly you like them. What would you say about them?
Well, I know all the amps in detail because I've tested in detail with him. And like the 8-inch speakers, he's now using a special design from Jensen, special design for Marble, the Blue Tone speaker. But I think they sent us 12 or 15 different types. And then we started doing double blind tests. It took us 4 weeks to analyze all the speakers. In the end, we had 2 left, and I played it 10, 20 times, one speaker, the other speaker, still using different microphones, etc. And in the end, I said, "Well, this is the one I like most. That's the one he's using now."
Great. And of the 4 options, which do you use the most?
The last gigs I did, I use a Harpwood.
So the Harpwood is the 4x8 speakers.
Yeah, but in the past few years, people can change the configuration. They can say, "I want 3 speakers, maybe 3x10, 2x8, 1x10. Or I had one amp, a Harp Boot, with a 1 15-inch speaker designed for James Harmon. That was my favorite amp. But at the moment, I feel comfortable using any Harpwood amp, and I prefer the Harpwood because it gives me a bit more headroom. It can be very loud, and I always turn up my amp very loud on stage, which allows me to play quiet. It sounds a bit weird to most people, but when my amp is just below the point where it starts to feedback, I get my maximum volume, I get my biggest tone, and when I play more quiet on the amp, I still have a big tone. When you turn down the amp a bit more to avoid feedback or to be not as loud as the amp can be, you also take away dynamics of the amp, and it doesn't sound good when you play quiet. That's my approach to playing amplified.
Sure, yeah. And what about if you want to use one of the smaller ones? You've got the 1x8 or the 2x8. Do you use one of those for a smaller situation?
I once had to use it in the UK for a few gigs because the pubs were so small, we didn't find place for a bigger amp. And I just take a Marble Max, put it on a bar stool or just on a table to be heard. It was loud enough for a small bar.
And I mean, what would you say then about, you know, using custom-built harmonic amplifier against other amplifiers? Is there, you know, do you only use the Marble amps now because, you know, for that reason?
Well, I still love the Marble amps, but I also used Musco amps. I used different vintage amps. But at the moment, I use a Quilter small transistor amp. It's like a small effects pedal. It's very small. It's the Microblock 45. It's a 45-watt transistor amp. And I used in an old cabinet with a vintage speaker. It's so funny when I do a jam session and I have my old cabinet with an old Jensen speaker in it, and I have the amp on top, which looks like an effect pedal. People always come to me and say, "What a beautiful tube sound you have on this amp." And I point them to my transistor amp, and they are almost shocked sometimes because it really sounds like a tube amp. But this is maybe what I also learned from Paul Delay. It's how you play the harmonica, how you build your tone with everything you can do to have a better tone. It will make sound any mic better. It makes any amp better. It makes you sound like you, and then it doesn't matter if it's a tube or a transistor.
Sure, yeah. So a transistor we'd also describe as a solid-state amp.
Yeah, sorry, I should have said solid-state indeed, yeah.
No, great, yeah. So, yeah, you're using a variety of amps then and you know, for your sound. So back to you know, your recording. So you made a self-produced album called The Harp Game Is On. So, you know, how did you go about this and putting this together?
My first take on this was I wanted to record some songs for students to give them some stuff to practice with. And because I've played all the solos, of course, I could easily discuss how I play them. But when I was busy with that, I found out that people liked it a lot, the songs that I had. I said, well, let me put them on a CD. And it was just some home recording. I was just using the iMac, a good mic, some backing tracks, and that's it.
You've got a variety of approaches on there, ain't you? You've got kind of the country of the blues, which is a country harmonica song. You've got a song called Just Minor, which is third position. So yeah, you were trying to get on, you know, different sort of what styles of harmonica, yeah.
Yeah, because it was very useful for my students at that time, and but only, as I said, because they liked it so much, I said, well, let me put them on a CD and just a home recording project. But if people want to have one, they can always contact me about it.
Yeah, no, some great stuff on there. So, I mean, what about the process? You know, I've talked with a few people about kind of these self-produced albums and, you know, what about that process? You know, I think it's a great thing to do. You know, what did you learn from it?
I already did a lot of home recording, and I still do. In fact, when I'm at home and I work on my harmonicas or do anything else, sometimes it's like I hear a lick in my head, I grab a harmonica, switch on my iMac, Reaper is always on, the mic is standing there, I just play. And this happens sometimes 10 times a day, maybe one time a day, but every day I make recordings. Sometimes just a 10-second lick. Sometimes it's things that I now bring into my theme. Sometimes it's things that I need for my students. So I may have thousands of home recordings, all kinds of stuff. It's always acoustic because I just want to forget what I heard in my head.
Sure, yeah. And what microphone do you use for that?
I have this Rode NT1A, but I had it customized by someone in the US. It's almost like a vintage Neumann sound now. Put a different element in it, and it sounds more open and more natural.
And you're in another act, which is a blues duo called Blue Bridge.
Yeah, that's someone I think I met him 40 years ago already. In that time I lived in Arnhem, in the middle of Holland, and he was playing there in the local bar. And the good thing is, this guy is playing wonderful guitar, slide guitar. He has a nice voice, and he's a very good harmonica player as well. It's on and off with him, but it's always like coming home when I play with him, because when I play harmonica, he knows where I will go on harmonica, because he knows what harmonica playing is.
It is always good, isn't it? If it's a, you know, guitar player who plays some harmonica, they're quite nice and sympathetic to this harmonica, aren't they, and what you need. And
yeah, that's the same with marble tones. The guitar player in marble tones, he's not a typical blues soloist guitar player who wants to play loud and a lot. He loves playing just nice chords and licks and helping me to do what I love most.
I mean, you mentioned there that you do lots of recordings, so you regularly put out YouTube videos of recordings that you've done. I've got you demonstrating your tone using a coffee cup. Got you playing Watermelon Man. Like you said, you often just want to start playing and record yourself.
I think 99% of what I do is improvised. I hardly ever practice a lick before recording, because I want people to hear that it's me. And when I play, I still want to be able to pick up the harmonica and play right away what I feel is okay. When you practice it, it's not about how you feel, but how you play it. Which feels different to me, and that's why I was always so bad in copying people, because I couldn't play the same thing over and over again.
So you mentioned teaching. So obviously you're teaching Lenny harmonica, and you release sort of YouTube tuition videos. So you've got recently these different themes, as you're calling them. So theme number one was using a kind of 4-bar theme and then improvising 4 bars. Since then you've been releasing, I think you're up to number 24, the last one I saw. The number 24 is based on basically having a lyric in your head and then sort of playing the kind of lyric.
Yeah, I call it vocal playing, but refers to what I told before about playing how I feel. When I hear something, a lick, it could also be a sentence or a word or when someone's humming. Anything that triggers me makes me play the harmonica. And I don't sing in a band anymore, but sometimes when I'm at home, I make recordings and I sing a little. And from there, this feeling, playing what I hear in my head is often maybe a sentence or a feel that I have.
Sure, yeah. And just about the singing, you know, what's made you give up the singing, you know, as a harmonica player? Obviously, it's quite a good skill to have.
Yeah, but I was never 100% happy with my voice. Maybe my voice was okay, but to my standard, I said, no, it's better not to do it.
Yeah, there's a difference, isn't there, when you get a really good singer against, like you say, you can sing, but get a really good singer, you're like, yeah, wow, that's so much better, isn't
it?
So, yeah, I'm with you there. So you do have a business, which is Ben Bauman Harmonicas,
yes,
where you customise harmonicas, so Seidel harmonicas. You were involved with when Seidel first started looking in using stainless steel reeds, yeah?
Yeah, I think I met Bertram Becker from Seidel. I met him at least 20 years ago. Let's see, Seidel started in 2007 with the steel reeds, 2008. So I think I met Bertram a few years before. In Klingenthal, there was a workshop from a guy, and I went there just more or less like a holidays, but I went to this workshop and Bertram was there as well, and we met and talked. And he introduced me to the people from Seidel. In that time, the factory was only using the brass reeds. Bertram introduced me to the chief engineer, Karl Puchold, which I always loved. The man, he looks like an old shepherd, but he's very, very intelligent, and he studied everything about harmonica. He went to university. This guy still knows everything about harmonica. And then the factory was broke. 5 or 6 people kept the company going. One of them was Carl Puchholz, and he was always having typical experimental harmonicas that he made in his old building from Sadly. Had this all almost like secret room on the second floor where nobody was allowed to enter. Only the people that he asked to enter were allowed there. And Bertram, shortly after the factory was bought by four people and they wanted to start again, Bertram asked me to come to Carl Puchholz and test some prototypes that he had. So we went in a small room, but was packed with tools and harmonicas, and Carl was sitting there, and he was telling a little about harmonicas, and we had to test a few things. So he handed a harmonica to me, and I played it, and it didn't feel good, so I gave it back to him. He looked at my face, and he gave me the next one. It was a bit better, but still, He gave me another one, looked like another model. I played it. It was okay. It still didn't make me smile. Then he gave me a harmonica. I played it literally for 1 second. I stopped. I said, Carl, I will put this one in my pocket and I won't give it back to you. And then he started to smile, which he doesn't do very often. And it turned out this was a harmonica with handmade steel reeds by him. I'm not saying it was the perfect harmonica, but it fitted my way of tone building, my way of breathing, my way of playing. And I said, well, this is maybe a thing that you think about for the future as your top model. And Bertram agreed because he had the same feeling with steel reeds. And this is how it really started. And from there, they did some tests and they found another company who could made steel reeds, etc., etc. But I was very happy with it.
So what is it about steel reeds that you like?
Well, it allows me to get a tone that feels nice to me. It gives me a warm tone when I want it. It gives me a loud tone when I want it. It gives me a bright tone when I need it. I can make it sound like a marine band. I can make it sound like Suzuki, but you will always hear it's me. It allows me to express myself on the harmonica, which I don't have with brass reeds. They always limit me for some reason. I really can't say what it is, but I feel limited. Although I love playing a custom marine band as well, but it still feels different to me. And only when I play on steel reeds, it sounds natural to me.
But I mean, as a customizer, as you say, you have a business where you sell custom harps. Do you only do sidles in your customization, or?
Yes, and only the steel reed harmonicas. As soon as they started producing them, I did some tests with them if I could customize them. At the time, I was once a month. I went a week to Seidel when the factory was bought by these four people because they wanted me to test all the types that they have and write a report about it to see what models they should stop selling and which ones were better. But I did a lot of testing at that time to see if I could improve the quality, if I could use them for customization. I found that it felt good to me to work on steel reeds because they're more forgiving than brass reeds. I can really twist a reed and bend it back to a straight shape, and it still works without any problem, which you can't do with the brass reed.
So you get kind of fractures in the surface of brass reeds, don't you, which really kind of impacts the tuning of things, isn't it? Saying you don't get that problem with steel reeds.
You get the same things, but people always think that steel is very stiff, very solid, but steel is a bit more elastic than brass reeds. That's what Carl Puchholz told me, and what I hear from different people as well. It's when you bend a brass reed, bend it like 90 degrees, do it 10 times and it will break. When you take a steel reed, you can bend it 100 times, 90 degrees or more, and it doesn't break.
For me, when I'm tuning my own harmonicas and when I do the steel reeds, you know, they certainly feel tougher. You know, I need to feel, I have to take more material off,
yep.
You know, go at it harder to get the material off and that side of thing. So what about when you customize them? What you're finding about the differences with them?
I found some tools that are really helpful when I work on my reeds, and I don't tune with a file or anything else. I use a rotary machine, like a Dremel. I don't use a diamond tip or so. It's a tip made from very solid rubber injected with small metal particles. So it gives me a very good way to control how much material I remove from the reed. It's more like polishing the reed than filing away material.
So I was reading your website about your customization, and you do produce some harmonicas where you have all polished reeds, don't you, which you then have to, I think you have to have it a semitone up because it sort of tunes it down to the kind of almost a semitone below, isn't it?
I still do it every now and then, but at the moment I use more and more the reeds from the Lightning from Seidel because they also polish the reeds. But my polishing is a bit different from what Seidel does. Seidel is taking away most of the material on top of the reed. They remove the milling marks, but not completely. When I polish, I remove all the milling marks because every milling mark is a point where the reed could break. And I polish them down all the way to make them shiny, which means you don't see the milling marks anymore. And to my feel, to my ears, the reed sounds, gives me a bit more open sound because the reed is able to flex in a more natural way to me. And also it allows me, when I tune them down a semitone, I remove more material near the rivet. And this is where sometimes the shape of the reed is not perfect to how I would like to have it. The profile from Seidel's are all very good, but on some reeds I can see when I use a microscope that the thickness of the reed near the rivet is sometimes it's too thick and it goes down to the tip where it's too thin. So then I can even it out by polishing down maybe two semitones. Sometimes I take a reed which is two semitones higher, but it's a lot of work, and that's why I prefer now to take the lightning reeds because they are already quite good.
So you sell Seidel harmonicas, got three levels, exact, extra and extreme. So this is sort of the different customization levels, yeah.
My basic work is embossing the reed slots. Then I work on the shape of the reed, the curving of the reed, the gapping, but I can do it more or less in detail depending on which stage I'm doing. When I do my exact and my extreme are coming more close together now. There's, in the beginning I did like a 15-minute job on the exact, which allows me to do a little embossing, check all the tunings, check all the gapping, check all the shaping of the reed. But because I got better at working on steel reeds, I can do a bit more on my basic models because I'm more used to work with the microscope. I can do more precise work on my extreme harps. So the difference between my first, the exact harmonica and the extreme is quite big, but it is not like hours more work for me. I tend to make my exact and my extra harps better than I did a few years ago, but my extreme is now really extreme because I go so much in detail.
What you charge for your customized harmonicas isn't that much more than the Seidel charge from you buy directly from them or from other shops. So what sort of difference in price is there between your customized versions and the standard price?
Well, my exact is only 10 euros more than what Seidel is charging. So I shouldn't work that long on the exact, but I do a bit more work because I think people just deserve a good harmonica, and it really makes already a difference when you have a good setup harmonica. People will notice a difference, and I like to have people good harmonica and be able to find their own way of playing and enjoy what they're doing. My extra is I think it's 20 euros more. The extreme is like 50 euros more. It's not based on how many hours and how many work I do. I always feel I should charge a fair price for my harmonicas.
And obviously you do set up for overblows as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do you use overblows yourself?
Yes and no. Sometimes I use them. When I practice, I use them. Then it's more because I may practice different positions and I may practice more melodic songs where I need an overblow. To be honest, I still don't like the sound of an overblow. And it doesn't matter if it's Howard Levy or any other overblow guru. There are some people who are really high level overblow players. But when I hear 100 part of a song with 100 notes and there's one overblow, it just pops out. It's a different tone to me always. There's nobody can hide the overblow to perfection.
And if people buy some of your harmonicas, you also give them a 30 minute Skype lesson. So great stuff. So you're still going strong, and people can get your customized harps through your website. I'll put the link to that on the podcast page and check you out. And as we mentioned, that you do some teaching, and you got your YouTube channel. You've also been involved with Viola Barons, yeah. She's a Dutch teacher. Have you done some teaching on some of her camps and classes?
No, because she's my partner as well. She started on conservatory. She studied music. She did piano, vocal, and flute. only by coincidence, she was asked to by a harmonica orchestra in that time to help them, because the guy who did it died and they couldn't find someone else. So they asked her. She was conducting choirs and writing music and arranging music for them. But they asked her to come to harmonica orchestra to see if she could help them. She said, "Well, I don't play harmonica, but give me 6 months and then I'll decide if I can do it with you." So she started playing harmonica and went to the orchestra a few times and she liked it right away. And from there it started. This was, I think, 25 years ago or so. But because her approach to harmonica playing is totally different from what I do. I always did everything by ear. I only started with theory 15, 20 years ago or so. But she always starts with people have to learn to read sheet music in the orchestra, because you're in an orchestra and you have a bass harmonica, a quart harmonica, you have a chromatic harmonica, first voice, second voice, etc. So her teaching is all based on this. And when she is teaching blues harp, she also has this very structured way of thinking about blues harmonica and how to teach it. All her classes are easy to understand for everybody in the class.
And you're also involved with the Seidel Festival, which is held in Germany, in Klingenthal, the Mundharmonika Festival, yeah?
Yeah, well, in the time that when I met Bertram, they had this festival, but it was more like a few gigs and maybe one workshop 1 day or 2 days or so with someone. But then Bertram and I decided to do a workshop together, and we did it for a whole weekend. And from there, it started that they want to do more workshops with different teachers. And it slowly built up to what it is now. So now we have, I think, 7 or 8 teachers. And we start teaching on Tuesday till Friday. And then the festival starts with the Saturday night gig and the Sunday morning blues breakfast and the whole thing. But so in general, we have like 7 or 8 classes with an average 15 people. They get workshops all day. It starts on Tuesday afternoon. Then Wednesday starts at 9 in the morning till 5. Thursday, the same, 9 to 5. Friday, 9 to 1. It's so much fun to do because it's a beautiful location, Klingenthal.
Yeah, and that's held in September, yeah?
I think it's the third weekend.
Great, yeah, so that's running this year. So people who are interested could check out that. Again, I'll put the link on to the podcast page so people can find that. A question I ask each time, Ben, is if you had 10 minutes of practice, what would you spend those 10 minutes doing?
If I only have 10 minutes, sometimes I just go to a harmonica case, I close my eyes and I pick up one harmonica without knowing which key. Could be a low key, could be a higher one. And I just sit down and play. It sounds simple, but that's really how I play. I hardly ever practice. For the marble tones, we have a structure in the songs. Sometimes I need to open a song, then I do my opening lick. From there, every gig, every song is different when we play. And that's still how I play. When I teach, I do the opposite. Then it's really about techniques that I do that I demonstrate by using licks that we repeat and repeat and repeat until they get their breathing right, their tone building right, the embouchure right, everything. But when I play, and I said it about my home recordings, I just sit down and play. It's not the best answer, I guess, but that's really how it is. Don't play songs. A lot of people play melodies on the harmonica, but they just copy melodies, and it just doesn't feel right to me when I do this, because I like the song I played on YouTube, Watermelon Man. I played the way I think it feels right to me. Of course, I want to honor the song. It's a nice song to do, but still I will play a solo on it that is my solo and not a solo from someone else.
Great, yeah, so you always keep it original and fresh, yeah, it's good.
Well, I hope I can do that, but it feels right to me. That's the most important thing.
And what about any chromatic? Have you gone back to the chromatic, or are you just diatonic?
No, I still play chromatic every now and then, but I just used in the marble tones. To be honest, I love the sound of the chromatic still. I have this CBH 2016, the chromatic from Xianbei Huang. The you know the black one with the button on the lower part of the harmonica?
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
I love it so much because Viola played it. We did some recordings for Viola. She has a few CDs that she's using as well. She plays classical music on this CBH. And to me, it sounds like a bass clarinet. It's difficult to describe. It has, to me, like a wooden tone, which is unique for a chromatic harmonica. I love the sound of the 16-hole CBH. It's maybe because I started on clarinet when I was a child. I still love the sound of a clarinet, but I prefer the sound of a bass clarinet. And it's very close to this chromatic sound. I've played all the chromatics from Seidel, and I love them all. When I really want to record something with the beautiful sound on a chromatic, I go to the CBH chromatic harmonica. Only because of the sound. It's my way of playing, my way of listening is always about tone and groove. These are the two main things that I teach to everybody, tone and groove. Without a good tone, it will never sound okay. Without a groove, it sounds boring. That's my approach to harmonica playing.
And so you do customize Seidel chromatics as well, don't you? So that people can buy those through as well.
I don't really customize them. I take them apart. I check everything. Maybe I polish the slide. Maybe I look at the spring. Maybe some details. I look at how the gapping is. If it's even, I look at the valves. If they are glued straight on the reed plate. All these things to make sure everything is okay with the harmonica. Maybe one of my goals for the next years will be to build up a chromatic using less valves. So I will go to my embossing and see what I can do with chromatic without valves and maybe half valving it. I'm not sure, but it's one of my things that I want to do in the coming years.
And so getting on to, talking about gear now in the last section. So clearly now you just play the Seidel harmonicas apart from the CBH chromatic you just talked about. You're using your own custom Seidels, I take it.
Yeah.
And I know you like to play all sorts of different ones. Like you like to play the low Seidels as well. You've got one of your theme videos on a low B flat. And those low ones.
Yeah, well, I love the low ones, but to be honest, one of my coming themes, I can already tell this on the podcast, is where I play on the F harmonica, just the regular F, which for many people is way too high and too shrill, but I recorded it with just a little cupping, tried to make it sound more mellow just by changing my embouchure and my breathing technique. And I want to show people it doesn't have to sound as shrill and as aggressive as most people think the F can be. So I like the whole range of harmonicas. I like a low C, I like a low B flat, I like a low, low F. But as soon as I pick up a harmonica and I started playing it, I adapt to what a harmonica can do. Also because, of course, I test harmonicas so many times. Without thinking, I just adapt to the harmonica. When I play on a low, low F, my embouchure changes instantly. And the same when I play on a standard F, my embouchure is different from on the low, low F. And this goes without thinking. So I love the whole range. But I couldn't say there's just the low harps that I like most. It's everything.
Yeah, and you've also got another video of you playing a Dorian-tuned harmonic. So you like to play with different tunings as well?
Yes and no. It's more like a fun part to me. I know I can do some double stops on different tuned harmonicas, which sounds a bit weird to some people. And sometimes I just want to surprise people by doing something unpredictable on the harmonica, which they've never heard or which is maybe new to me. So sometimes I do something wrong on harmonica to my ears. And when I listen back, I think, well, it might be fun to use it in one song next year or so. It's, I have maybe one good thing. When I play a lick, it's stored on my, I call it my internal memory. When I put on a home recording that I maybe made 10 years ago, I can play one-on-one with that recording. 99 of 100 times I can do it. Because I seem to remember all the licks that I've played, which is, I never realized I was good at it.
Talking a little bit about tunings, you know, the types of tunings. So I understand you like the compromise just tuning. So is that when you're doing your harmonica setup, is that the tuning you normally go for? Or
yeah, that's that, because when Seidel started again in 2008, I think, in 2007, I did this quality check on a lot of harmonicas, and in that time, the people who tuned the harmonicas in the Seidel factory, they just tuned to just intonation, because that's the old school way of tuning harmonicas by ear. And they all were trained in listening to just intonation instruments. And to my ear, when you tune a five draw in minus 29 cents, which is a quarter note, to me it sounded too much off when I hear this. It's almost like it's the reed is starting to break. That's the feeling that I got from hearing the five draw when people play it, and when you bend it down just a little, it's almost like a semitone down. So it was way too much for me, and that's when I started doing some research on how to tune harmonicas, and I found several websites and tuning schemes that I had, and one of them was the compromised just intonation tuning meant for second and third position. And since 95% of the songs is played in second position, I said, well, maybe this one is good for Seidel to introduce. But then I had to really almost fight with the people at Seidel to convince them that that's the way to go with harmonicas. And but when you tune your harmonicas all your life to just intonation, and your ear is all the way focused on how it sounds, it's difficult to use another tuning. They really couldn't work with that in the beginning. So Seidel took over this tuning that I advised, and that's still what they do.
And so embouchure-wise, which embouchure do you like to use?
I started with Pucker, of course, but when I started playing harmonica, I didn't know anything about it, so I just played single notes, and that's it. But I heard on the records that I had, the old records, that there was something going on. But I think it took me at least 20, 30 years before I found out that there's a different way. I didn't know it was called tongue block, but I noticed when I played on several holes and I did something with my tongue, I could more or less play like the old players without still knowing what it was. I only found out about what it was when I bought my first computer. I had a 256 MB laptop, one of the first laptops for sale in Holland. And the moment that internet came in Holland, I went to my laptop and I found out there was Alta Vista, this search engine that they had at the time. So I typed in blues harp, and after 5 minutes I got a website coming up, and 5 minutes later the second website. So I stayed up all night just looking and reading, and oh, and this, and oh, and what's this? So I stayed up all night, printed everything, because I didn't know how to save the information. So I had thousands of prints after a few weeks, and I was just reading and reading and reading. And that's where the journey started again for me. And then I learned how to use tongue block and how to sound different when I tongue block. But I still pucker when I think I need it. But I think I now come to the point where I just play. Sometimes I play tongue block without thinking about it. Sometimes I play pucker and I mix it whenever I want, whenever I need it.
Great, and we've already talked about obviously the amps that you use, but one I wanted to pull out is you got a video of you playing through a Pignose amp, which is a sort of small kind of busking sort of battery amp. Another solid state amp that you really like, yeah?
Yeah, that's one of the first amps that I bought for home recordings. And I really don't know, but I think I bought mine in 1970, 1975 or so. They were just on the market. And what I found in that time, that Frank Zappa made a lot of recordings using a small Pignose amp in a huge studio room. And they had several mics, one close to the Pignose, one on the ceiling, one at the wall. And that was the sound of Frank Zappa at the time. I said, well, if he's using that, it should be a good amp. And I bought one. It turned out it's very, very nice for harmonica. Like my Quilter amps at the moment, they have a nice mellow feel tone to it. But of course, it depends on which microphone. Well, not really the microphone, but how you cut the microphone and how you use your embouchure in combination with the microphone. That's also one of my things that I teach a lot, how to work with the microphone and how to use it to make a good tone on an amp.
Sure, yeah. So yeah, that's a great little practice amp. And you mentioned microphones there. So I think you use a Crystal JT30, but a few other things, yeah?
Yeah, my main mic is a GT30. It was a Hohner Blues Blaster, but all the paint is taking off. The volume control was removed, and some years ago I bought from someone in the US, I bought a Brush Crystal Element. And the Brush Crystal is not as aggressive as the Aesthetic Crystal, but it's a very warm, big sounding crystal. But still, when you open your hands, when I hold the microphone with one hand, almost no cupping, I still have a good tone, but it doesn't get as shrill as a crystal can be sometimes. A huge range from very dark bassy sound to very nice open acoustic tone. So I can do anything I want with my tone and translate it to a good amp tone. But before that, I always played with the Shure Control Magnetic, which I thought was the best for me at the time.
And you do like to use effects, don't you, when you're playing?
Yeah.
What effects are you using on those?
Well, on my pedal board, I have my Kinder anti-feedback. I don't use it as anti-feedback. It's more like, for some reason, when I turn up the middle knob just a touch, everything seems to get more responsive without being over-responsive. But when I just breathe in the harmonica, very gentle, my tone comes right away. There's no lack. So it's not my anti-feedback, but it's just my help to have my attack like I want it. And then I have my preamp. It's called the El Pescadoro from Nocturne Brain. The preamp part is responsive for a guitar player. And it turns out that this is very helpful for harmonica. So I use it as my... I call it my tone shaper. It's like opening up my whole range of frequencies easier. It seemed like the Kinder that I use, it just makes me feel that everything I do on the harmonica comes out the way I intended it on the harmonica. And the rest is just fun. I have a delay, I have an auto-wah effect, I have this Hammond organ effect. And on my preamp, I have reverb as well. That's basically what I use on, and the rest is just fun. I have a vibrato that is combined with my Hammond sound, and I can speed it up and slow it down. But I don't really need it, but it's just for one or two songs. I just like to have it on the pedalboard when I want to use it, and when I think it's the right moment, then I will use it. I have gigs where I hardly use any effect, so it's not that I have to use it all the time, but I just like to have fun with it. But it depends on how the audience responds, how we play, where we play, and then I decide, now I will use maybe this effect or not.
Yeah, it's nice to have some variety sometimes.
Yeah.
So yeah, so great. So just last question then, Ben, just to wrap up now. You know, what's your future plans? What you're planning on doing this year?
Well, working on a good chromatic harmonica, and I'm thinking about making a special setup on Seidel 8047 lighting. I'm thinking about I will buy the reed plates, the reeds, and use screws on it, so no more rivets. And then when someone buys this harmonica, I have some special things that I can do with the reeds that I learned from Carl Puchold from Seidel, the chief engineer. He told me a few things that people did like 100 years ago to the reeds. I want to translate this to this new harmonica with all the reeds are replaceable, so people buy the harmonica and get the reeds that they break most as a spare reed, and they can easily switch the reeds themselves.
So thanks so much for joining me today, Ben Bauman.
Thank you for having me. It was a really great joy to talk with you and to be allowed to talk this much about harmonica.
Once again, thanks to Seidel for sponsoring the podcast. Be sure to check out their great range of harmonicas and products at www.seidel1847.com or on Facebook or Instagram at Seidel Harmonicas. Thanks to Ben for joining me today. That harmonica with replaceable reed sounds like an exciting development. And thanks to Peter Rue for the latest donation to the podcast. I really want to keep the podcast ad-free, and these donations really help me do that. Please check out the podcast website at harmonicahappyhour.com, where you can find links to all the great stuff that Ben's talked about and links to his playing. We'll sign off now with Ben playing with his band The Marble Tones with the great title The Monkey Speaks His Mind.
The monkey, he speaks his mind.